Welcome to the Dominion Embassy Broadcast. You are about to hear a Kingdom Living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and His Kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
1 Peter 5. And then verse 6-7, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Hallelujah. Casting all your cares on him, for he cares for you. Isn't it beautiful that the reason why we have to cast our cares, our worries, our concerns, what we cannot do, but which we are concerned about, the reason we should cast it upon him or tell God about, is because he cares for us. He loves us. It's powerful. Hallelujah. If you commit something to somebody who loves you, somebody who is competent, somebody who is wise, you can rest. You can go to sleep. Hallelujah. It's powerful. That is what God is. He is loving. He is wise. And he is capable. So when we cast our care, we can be carefree. We can go to sleep, rest. Today we want to finish what we started to talk about on the prayer of commitment. The prayer of commitment is a type of prayer where we cast all our cares upon him, for he cares for us, according to 1 Peter 5 verse 7, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Specifically, we are going to end this session looking at how to offer the prayer of commitment. How to offer the prayer of commitment. The Bible indeed teaches us how to do things. Because if God tells us to do something and he doesn't tell us how to do it, then we are being enslaved. But God doesn't enslave. God frees us. God makes us able to do what he wants us to do. So we are going to look at four points, and then I'm going to summarize it in the book of Psalm 37. So first of all, we want to look at 1 Peter chapter number 2 and then verse 23. The first thing you have to know in offering the prayer of commitment, committing all your cares, all your worries, all your anxieties, what you cannot handle. Life is simple. God has given you ability. Do what you can. The one that you cannot, commit it unto him. Hallelujah. So the first way of committing or praying the prayer of commitment is to offer it without threats. Offer prayers of commitment without threats. 1 Peter chapter number 2 and then verse 23 says, it's talking about the Lord Jesus, who when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Please note, committed himself to him who judges righteously. So Jesus prayed a prayer of commitment. You remember? Yeah. When he was suffering, the Bible says that he prayed a prayer of commitment. You know, also right on the cross, he prayed another prayer of commitment when he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. All right. So look at how Jesus, or we are to pray the prayer of commitment. We have to pray it following the example of Jesus. The Bible says of Jesus that although he didn't sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth, yet he was suffering. He suffered for us. Verse 21, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps, the way that he suffered. Although he was an innocent person, although he did not sin, although he didn't, as it were, hurt anybody, yet he was reviled. Reviled means that he was mocked. He was disabused. You know, he was maltreated. He was persecuted. He was made to suffer needlessly, so to speak. Though he was reviled, he did not revile in return. And when he suffered, he did not threaten. You know, some people, believers, when they are persecuted, they persecute people in return. When they are misused, they also misuse other people in return. When they abuse, they also abuse other people, you know. But that is not how Jesus Christ lived. When he was reviled, when he was misunderstood, he didn't retaliate. When he suffered, he didn't threaten anybody. Wow. Because when you are suffering, the first impulse is for you to look at who is the cause of the suffering and try to give it to the person. Yeah, it's true. Why am I going through all this? Who is the cause? Who did it? Who did it? Some of us are so annoyed. Sometimes you get Adam to worry us. Adam, why? They forget that they were in the loins of Adam when Adam disobeyed God. So they also disobeyed God in Adam. Because we were all from Adam and we were there. God operates the potential principle. He puts everything in one thing, and then with time, he brings it out. He manifests it one by one. So we're all there, cumulative. You know, we're all there. All human beings were in Adam's loins when he was disobeying. So we all disobeyed. That's why we are all sinners. It's wonderful. When people are suffering, they want to look at the cause of the suffering. Is it the finance minister? Is it this president? Is it this party? Look at all this, and you know what they do. And they sometimes say bad things about the party, but these people too, and this man too, and it's all this man. All the suffering in this institution, this organization, it is this boss. This is the cause. This party is the cause. This president is the cause. You see, and so as they suffer, they also, as they are reviled, they also throw it back. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we don't have a perfect economy. You may not have a perfect family, a perfect father. But for you to pray the prayer of commitment, you should not revile back. You should not do the wrong thing back. Wow. Otherwise, you cannot really commit it to God. That's not how Jesus Christ did it. When he suffered, he didn't threaten. Some people don't only look at the cause of it and then they point fingers and all that. I'm not saying that don't look at the cause of your suffering. But seeing the cause of your suffering doesn't mean that you should throw bad arrows back at those people. You get it? Aha. Otherwise, you cannot commit it to God. You are fighting yourself. You are insulting them back yourself, castigating the leaders yourself and all that. When you are a leader and always people are criticizing you, do you know you cannot perform? It is true. Always. When people are saying negative things about you, true, they may have done something negative. But if you are going to throw it back at them, you think that they can even have peace to think? No, they will only have peace, or they will only think about how to defend themselves. So we'll be full of throwing arrows and then the other party defending. We are not doing anything. We are only talking. You see, you listen to some of these social commentators, they are shooting their mouths and all the time, especially belonging to the opposition party. Shooting their mouths at the leaders out there. Everything is bad. If you keep telling people everything is bad, they will do more bad things. But if you acknowledge the good in them, you are going to draw out the good that God deposited over there also. Hallelujah. So, ladies and gentlemen, when you are going through suffering, don't threaten. Don't do that. You know, don't say, hey, you people, do you know who you are dealing with? Eh? And some people will say, if I am a man of God, then let something come and befall you right now. Oh, yeah. Some people, when they suffer, they threaten that because of what you have done, so and so and so and so is going to happen to you because you have castigated my church. So and so is going to happen to you. By the end of this year, by June, something is coming on you because you dare to touch the man of God. Who was a better man of God than Jesus? But when he suffered, he didn't threaten. He didn't call lightning and thunder on people. He didn't call curses upon them. He just took it easy. And in that atmosphere, with that setting, he committed the things to God. He committed it to God. The way to pray the prayer of commitment is to pray it without threats. Please let us rid ourselves of threats. Look at the book of Matthew chapter 5. Jesus Christ is such an example to us. In Matthew chapter 5, he said some things in his very first sermon, which he lived by. Matthew chapter 5 and then verse 43. He says, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." He didn't say pray against those who persecute you or who spitefully use you. He says that pray for them, not pray against them. Hallelujah. Says that when you are cursed, bless. Bless those who curse you. Imagine somebody, you have done something small, he is cursing you and all that. What do? Jesus says, bless the person. Bless the person. What about the person who hates you? The person doesn't like you. You haven't done anything, but he just doesn't like your face. He just doesn't like your voice. But he cannot point to anything you have done for which he has such hatred, antagonism for you. You don't understand. Doesn't want to see you. When he sees you, he's annoyed. You haven't done anything. Or assuming even you have done something which is not good towards the person. A person hates you for what you did. Doesn't want to forgive you. And he shows the hatred. The Bible says that what? Love those who hate you. Hallelujah. That is what Jesus did. He loved the people who hated him. Wonderful. So, look at verse number 44. "But I say to you, love your enemies." All right. Verse 45. "That you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust." The reason why we should love our enemies, the reason why when we suffer we should not threaten, is what? "So that we will be the sons of your Father in heaven. Because he makes his sun, S-U-N, rise on the evil and on the good." God blesses those who curse him, those who are evil, those who are against him and all that. He doesn't curse them, he blesses them. So watch it. If you think that you are fighting for God, and because you are holier than God, and you think that you are more zealous than God, you are cursing evil people in this world. Those who hate you, you are cursing them. God himself is blessing them. And you who says that you are representing God, you are cursing them. Are you sure you are representing God? The Bible says the reason why you should pray for those who use you, despiteful, who does not respect you, is so that you will become like God. So that you will be the sons of your Father who is in heaven. Because as for him, even the evil people, he is blessing them. So why can't you be like your Father in heaven and bless those who hate you and bless those who are cursing and bless those who are bringing suffering to you, and not threaten them? God doesn't threaten them. He doesn't tell the evil people, "Wait, I am coming. I'm going to pour all these things on you." You'll be surprised that he is blessing them. Yeah, he's pouring blessings upon them. So be like God. Work together with him. Don't think you are better than God. Don't think that God doesn't know how to do his things. He doesn't know how to take care of himself in this evil generation. And you are going to make sure that you defend God against the people who are speaking bad in the media against the church, bad in the media against the man of God and all that. He said, "Hey, let us pray, brethren, let us pray. Let us bring these people down." God is not bringing them down. For your information, this is Jesus. You see, the kingdom system that Jesus Christ brought is different from the religious system that is a tit for tat something. That is why he said, "You have heard it was said that you shall hate your enemy, but I am the word of God. I am the express image of God." Because these people didn't represent God, God brought me from heaven to come and show you humanity how God himself is. And I am telling you, bless those who curse you. Do good to those who do not respect you. Greet those who do not greet you. Love those who hate you. Hallelujah. So that what? So that you will be like God. So that you will be like God. Hallelujah. If believers are going to do that, I'm sure that we are going to get the world saved. Because we ourselves, we have put curses upon people. People, we want them to be born again. Okojo, we are cursing them. And afterward, we will do crusade and they don't get born again.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles, and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar, and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. The Bible is saying in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6 that we should be careful of something. It says that we should be careful that we do not consume one another. We should be careful that we do not consume one another. Galatians 5:15. But if you, let's back up to 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. He's saying to us, like, love, show love, even to those who hate you. They are your neighbors. Show love to them. Although they don't like you and they're always insulting you. You haven't done anything just because you have got a flat screen TV. They are insulting you just because you bought a new car. When you are reversing, look at him going. You haven't done anything. He says that you shall love your neighbor. So if you're always quarreling with your neighbor, and then you do crusade, how can they be born again? He says that, but if you bite and devour, underline bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. So believers can be biting people. Biting is a very terrible way of killing. I hear hyenas do that. Hyenas don't kill you. They don't like carcass. I hear that they bite you whilst you are going. They will be biting you and eating you, and they will chase you and bite another one and eat you until you fall down. That's what my boys tell me, that they can eat you whilst you are standing. Hyenas. Wow. Bible says that if we behave like hyenas, biting one another, we should be careful we don't consume ourselves. This is not God consuming, You, a believer, consuming your neighbor, consuming him with your cares instead of blessing, instead of praying for the person, you are consuming him with your cares. How can a cursed person, cursed by you, you want the person to be born again? So he says that, be like your father who is in heaven. All right? He loves evil people. And his son, S-U-N, the son is talking about wisdom. The son is talking about wisdom, basically. He gives it to the thankful and the unthankful, to the just and the unjust. That's how he is. So sometimes you don't understand why unbelievers are prospering, why unbelievers are doing well, and things like that. You think that God should be against them, God should curse them. No, God will give them son. Just as he is giving you, a righteous person, wisdom, he is giving them also wisdom. So sometimes they can have their businesses doing well. Don't you see that? Yeah, he's blessing their businesses, but they don't go to church. But they are evil. They are speaking even against the church, but God is still blessing them. So what do you do also as a believer? You also bless them and don't curse them. Hallelujah. Wonderful. So that is the Lord Jesus, and the way that he prayed the prayer of commitment. He didn't threaten, and he did what? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23. He committed himself to the one who judges righteously. He committed himself to the one who judges righteously. If you threaten, you cannot commit yourself to God, because you are doing your own fighting. He cannot fight for you because you have decided to do your own fight. Number two, the way to pray the prayer of commitment, ladies and gentlemen, is to offer it with well-doing. Offer it with well-doing. 1 Peter chapter 4 and then verse 19. Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. as unto a faithful creator. Hallelujah. Wonderful. So, if you are suffering and you want to pray the prayer of commitment, you have to commit, pray that prayer with well-doing. In other words, this time, you must practically do the right thing. The first one, he says that you should offer it without threatening back. This one, he says that you commit your souls to him in well-doing. In other words, you must do the right thing. Have the right conduct in your life. Here, you are suffering because the economy is bad. You are suffering because somebody takes a decision that is impinging on you negatively. You want to pray the prayer of commitment. The Bible says that do the right thing. Have the right attitude. Have the right conduct towards the situation. Hallelujah. Because some people are too negative about the problems on hand. They are too negative. If you always complain and all that, you can't pray the prayer of commitment for this nation. You cannot. If you are not doing the right thing, your attitude to work, your secular work is bad. How can you commit the keeping of your soul to God in well-doing? Because you are not doing well. You are not doing the right thing. It's not just a matter of, Pastor, let's pray and commit the situation to God's hands and that's all. He says that there is commitment that is done with your well-doing. When you are doing the right thing, you have the right conduct, you have the right attitude, you are committing that situation to God. Let him commit to him in well-doing, by doing the right thing, having the right attitude, not being that negative. Some people exaggerate everything till they see other people around them see that hell has broken loose. Hell has not broken loose. You're only seeing too much of the negative. I'll teach you when I'm summarizing this, you know. So some prayers we meet, prayer meeting, let's commit this thing. Those things, I believe me, God doesn't disobey his word. Oh, those things, you yourself, you are so negative minded. Your attitude to work is bad. You yourself, your attitude to your fellow people is wrong. And you are committing to God that God should do what about your neighbor, about your classmates, about your fellows? Because you are not committing the thing to him in well-doing. By doing well, by doing the right thing. Hallelujah. Wow, it's powerful. It's powerful. Let's read it again. 1 Peter 4:19. Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful creator. He is the one who made everything. He is going to be faithful to you. In fact, you did not bring yourself into the world in the first place. You did not pray that I should come into the world. God brought me here. He created me. He has to be faithful to me. He has to give me life. He has to give me everything that goes with life that reflects me, who has been made, or he has made in his image, so that I don't disgrace him on this earth. God is committed to us, but we can also commit ourselves to him by doing the right thing. There is a part that you and I have to play. We don't just pray that, God, I commit this situation, I can't handle it, I commit it to you, that's all. Ladies and gentlemen, if there is a little part you have to play, play that part, play it well. Watch your attitude, watch your conduct, watch your behavior. Watch, you see, you can continue to be stubborn and pray that God should do what? You are not committing the thing to him in well-doing. So your attitude should go well. Hallelujah. It's powerful. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Oh, we are there. He says, our wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, not to other people's husbands. Your own husbands. Because some people, they think they are wise, so they have to submit to everybody. Look, it's only to your husband. That even if some do not obey the word, they without the word, underline they without the word, may be won by the conduct of their lives when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Says that there are some people, they are so stubborn. You speak the word to them. It says that, look, wife, take it easy. Just let your conduct do well. So that even without the word, they will be won to Christ by your conduct. When they behold how you reverence them. Hallelujah. But when you speak and then they also speak and then you also speak back and you also speak back, you also speak back, you have lost the battle. In fact, you have taken God out of the situation. You can't win people. Can you win people? It's God who wins people. So why don't you just preach the word? When you preach the word, they are not getting saved. What do you do? They are checking and trying to resist you, who is the father of Jesus, and they are asking you such absurd questions. Where did God come from and all that? Just commit the people unto God by doing the right thing, by your conduct. Don't answer back. They will sit back, you see, and especially in their sober moments, you will think that they don't admire you. In their sober moment, they will say, my wife or this guy, he's different. They will testify of you to other people. They won't tell you in your face. They are too proud to do that. But deep inside, they know this man is a different man. They may show that they don't like you outside, but I'm telling you, when they're on their bed, they are thinking, they respect you, but they won't verbalize it for their pride. Yeah, they won't verbalize it. They won't show you that you are good, except when you die. Hypocrites, except when you die. Suddenly, how wonderful you are, how unique you are, how this you are, how different you are. They won't tell you when you are alive to encourage you. What kind of demonic thing is this? Seriously. It's the devil who discourages people, who pushes people down. As for God, don't you, every time he's telling you, I've blessed you, you are more than a conqueror. Even when you are saying, he says, I am with you. Don't you hear God say that? God never talks down at anybody. When you are down, he won't boot you. When you are down, he will lift you. He won't bury you when you fall. When you fall, he will lift you up. That's how he is. And that is how we must be. Lift people up. Well doing. Do the right thing. And don't just say, I've committed you to God. God will take care of it. What are you doing every day? What are you doing every day? Wasting your time with nothing. Attitude is important. Especially for those of us in this part of the world. We believe we are so spiritual, we are so anointed, we pray more, but yet anointed people have a very bad environment. Gutters littered, everything smelling and all that. Claim we are anointed. We can't subdue our own environment. We are not ruling it. We claim we are anointed. Do you know the difference? We have taken the thing to that extreme. Battles Jesus has finished winning, we are fighting to win it. Baby. And when you advise people, they don't see it. They think you are not anointed. If we were not anointed, like, we would not be here. I'm telling you. Because to succeed in this environment is a very difficult thing. You and I know. It's not like succeeding somewhere. Hey! Anyway. So I want to advise you, don't complicate situations. You commit it to God, you are cursing the people. I mean, you are biting, devouring them. You are yourself consuming them. That's why they are not getting born again. What curse have you placed on that land? What curse have you placed on our people? What negative mind do you have about them? Negative things you always say. And then you go and organize crusade. You want them to be born again. You have entangled them. You have entangled them with your own negativity. You say, Pastor, you don't know black people. You don't know what you are. I know better than you. I know the situation of Ghana better than you. I know conditions of things better than you. I don't only say it. Don't think you are so fast. You are so wise. When we are talking like this, we know what we are talking about. But we are not negative. It's not that we are fools. We don't see things well. We are not exposed. We know what we are talking about. Because you can't commit it to God and then you are fighting your own fight. You are fighting and threatening and cursing and everywhere and saying negative things and you say, I've committed it to God. He doesn't fight such battle. That's why our conditions do not change. Number three, prayer of commitment is often effective with fasting. Acts 13 verse 1. When you go home, read that. And then finally, commit the situation unreservedly to God. Commit the situation unreservedly to God. Unreservedly to God. Commit the situation unreservedly to God. And I want to end it in the book of Psalms 37. Commit the situation unreservedly to God. Psalm 37, we'll read from verse 1. This indeed is a summary of all that we have been teaching for 3-4 weeks, a month or so, on the prayer of commitment. All right? So let's go to Psalm 37 and end it. Committing the situation unreservedly to God. It involves some dynamics, and I want to show you those dynamics in Psalm 37. How to pray the prayer of commitment. Psalm 37. Do not fret because of evildoers. Fret means don't worry. It's like God saying, do not worry about anything, Philippians 4:6. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Right? Do not worry. Do not fret because of evildoers. In other words, don't let unbelievers provoke you. Don't let maybe the people who are in power, they are not Christians, they don't respect the Sunday, they don't respect the church. Don't let them bring negative things out of you. If anything should come, it should be positive.
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.